What's up, Conference USA fans? Happy Tuesday, and welcome to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we have another great show in store for you today. We're going to talk a little football, a little cross country, some women's soccer. Super excited to get into all of it with you guys. But first, as always, joining me again during football season, we have the wonderful Josh Yonas once again. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, we got a lot of football to talk about.
We're finally coming out of weekday CUSA, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but we had a pretty full slate. We had a full slate, actually, last week. Yeah. So we've got a lot to talk about. So before we get into all of our recaps from week 10, we do want to show you our top five plays of the week here for Conference USA football, starting off with this team, bowl eligible. We're excited about it. All right, here we go. Kennesaw State, a great punt here. Yeah. That set up a safety for the Owls.
Yeah, I got to give some special teams some love. So Josh Hewitt here just lofts a beautiful punt to the. You see him give the chef's kiss at the end.
I love it.
Sets up a perfect play here. The Owls stuff him right there, get the safety. I mean, this is a huge momentum shift going into halftime to get those extra couple points.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Big play.
Giving the punter some love.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Coming in at number four, Jacksonville State, DeAndre Johnson, a beautiful high point catch from him up over the top. It is.
And I mean, he's one of those guys. He's 6'8".
Oh,
is he? Yeah. He is a big man. I mean, you just throw the ball in his vicinity, he will go get it.
Wild. Yeah. I did not realize that he was that tall in real life. Okay. Number three. Here we go. Now let's see what this one is. Oh yeah. Shamari Lawrence rushing touchdown. He had quite
one broken tackle, two broken tackles, and into the end zone. So yeah. Great game against his former team. Just a great run here that again was a huge difference maker there in the second half.
Okay, here we go. Coming in at number two, we have Musa Berry, touchdown reception for WKU.
We had two guys get mossed this week.
That's right.
And I liked on the call, they said, I don't know how he said it, but...
You got double mat?
Something, I don't know. He had a good pun for Musa Berry. He said, you got moosed.
Moosed. Yeah. All right, that may be one we have to use. We have to use that the rest of the season. Okay, here we go. Our final play of the week coming in at number one. Evan Dickens, 72-yard touchdown. I mean, he had an
incredible...
It was
good enough that he was able to stay up on that first down. He might have broken top five plays just if he had, you know, fallen down 5 yards after that. Then he keeps going, tiptoes down the sideline for the 72-yard score. So some incredible athleticism by Evan.
And we're going to talk a lot about this game and Evan Dickens in particular here in just a minute. So super exciting games there in Week 10. We're going to talk about all of them here, starting with Tuesday night, because it was still weekday CUSA last week. UTEP at Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State clinches bowl of eligibility, their first year of eligibility to even be considered for a bowl game. So excited for the Owls.
Yeah, obviously a huge program-defining win. I feel like we've already talked about a few of those, right? I mean, you go back to the Liberty win and, you know, then the first FBS win this year. And, you know, so they just continue to add to that. Really excited for what Jerry Mack is doing there in Kennesaw and for the Owls. But, that game feels like it was 2 weeks ago.
I know. It does. It feels crazy. Which is weird because when we were talking about weekday CUSA games, like, last week, it didn't feel this way. But now that we're back to Saturdays, it just feels so far away.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, my notes on this. I'm like, man, what did happen? You know, I'm usually pretty good about doing notes, you know, right after games so that I'm, you know, staying fresh on them. But you know, this was just another textbook game for the Owls. Very sound football. You know, they didn't, you know, they did have one interception, you know, gave up a sack, but they, over the last four games in conference play, have just been one of the most efficient teams at not allowing sacks, not giving the ball away. But this game started really slow for them. Conditions were not great.
No, I was about to say, I think that myself included, I think there were some Owls fans out there that were a little nervous after the first half. They had two touchdowns in the first half. It was 14 points, but neither of them were offensive touchdowns. Right. It was a special teams touchdown and defensive touchdown, and the UTEP defense looked great. UTEP's offense was doing some pretty good things, scoring some points.
there were times during this game I was a little nervous for Kennesaw State.
Yeah, and we talked about, you know, how Jerry was going to continue to handle the quarterback situation between Amari Odom and Dexter Williams. We saw Dexter Williams get the start in this game, kind of a similar situation to a few weeks ago where, you know, Dexter got the start against Louisiana Tech because Amari wasn't quite ready to go. And they said, you know, if we absolutely need him, right? And obviously it played out in a great fashion where they didn't need to. And so this was kind of the flip side. You know, UTEP really forced his hand to say, shoot, we need to get Amari in this game or else this one's going to slip away from us. Yeah. And we saw as soon as he came in, you know, I think on his second pass attempt, he drops, you know, a bomb right there to the, you know, 2 yard line and they go on and score. And he ends up leading him to 3 scoring drives on their last 4 possessions. So he just continues to be a game changer for the Owls. So I'm glad that they were able to, you know, escape this one, you know, get another one in the win column. But there was certainly a little, some points of concern of whether or not they can run the table.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. And then we'll talk a lot about that here when we get to our previews, because we're going to preview this week, but we're also going to look a little bit in the future and take a look at some of our final weeks of the season here in just a little bit. But for me, really exciting stuff from Amari Odom. I think it needed an honorable mention as a top play, maybe like a top celebration. I just love his little rush into the end zone with his like little dance that's been. It was fabulous. It was fantastic. But this is the 6th straight win for Kennesaw State. Mm-hmm. Their 6th straight win at home there in Fifth Third Stadium. They're doing some really fun stuff there. Kennesaw State is not an easy place to play. We've talked about it. It's very intimate.
Yep.
That, you know, you can hear the fans in there.
And they've showed out. That's one thing I've been most impressed about, especially again, we talked about the conditions weren't great last Tuesday. They still had that place nearly packed. So they've got even beyond their local community is bought in, but it's the across the nation. Like people are talking about Kennesaw State right now because of what they're doing, what Jerry Mack is doing in year one. And I met with our rep for the football writers to kind of talk about some All-America candidates, some other award candidates. And even he mentioned, he's like, I really think, like, you know, hypothetically, if Kennesaw State went on to finish, you know, 11-2, win a conference championship, like Jerry Mack will be in the coach of the year conversation.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And like he feels pretty strongly about that. So for us to get that kind of praise on them that like, hey, they're getting noticed for what they're doing right now is really cool.
I love it. All right. Well, we could talk about the Owls all day, but let's talk about some other contenders in Conference USA who narrowly escaped with a victory as well in Jack State at Middle Tennessee. The Gamecocks squeaked this one out 24-21, but it was not easy.
No. And it was exactly as we talked about. Like, we hyped up how good Middle Tennessee's front is, led by DeMonte Smith, and they really put the pressure on Jacksonville State to come away with a win in this one. They held them to a season low 141 yards rushing, 2.9 yards per carry on the day, which is just unheard of for Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
Because coming into this game, they had a streak of 6 straight games with 200 yards as a team. The defense gave them all they could to try and get the win here. You know, obviously, as we've seen, they end up coming away with it. Really, you know, they gave it to him for 3 quarters, and then the 4th quarter, Jacksonville State just kind of pulled away and they were a little too much for him. But
yeah, for sure. I will say one thing that I looked at in your notes, Middle Tennessee came up with 8 tackles for loss against Jacksonville State and their front. And we'll talk about this here in a second. But when Jacksonville State plays UTEP next week, they cannot let that happen. UTEP's defense, we saw it in the Kennesaw State game, still good, regardless of their record.
Yeah.
So I think that is one thing that they'll definitely have to shore up in practice going into this.
And that's just, I mean, Jacksonville State obviously runs the ball really well, but they've also shown in games like this where if teams can cut the head off the snake, that's a path to victory.
Yep.
Because when Caden Creel was forced to throw the ball, and eventually we saw a little bit more of Gavin Wimsatt in the game when they really needed, you know, they were in a situation where they needed to pass the ball and it worked out well, but Caden Creel is not a thrower. And we saw that a little bit last year with Tyler Huff. He was a better passer than I think Caden Creel is, but they didn't rely on that by any means. And so if you force them to have to throw the ball, it can, you know, lead danger for the Gamecocks, but they got away with one here.
They did. And my prediction of Kennesaw State, Jacksonville State's USA Championship is still alive.
Still alive.
All right. So moving on to our Wednesday night contest, FIU at Missouri State. Missouri State, the Bears, pick up their first FBS home win of the season? No, not.
Well, yeah. No, I think this was their first FBS home win.
Okay.
Yeah, and for them, like, it was funny. I was just, you know, I went to this game, and, like, I'm talking to people beforehand, and, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, you guys are having a great season, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, but, like, we just, you know, and they haven't had a whole lot of home opportunities yet, but, you know, they were like, and one of them was against SMU,
right?
And their other one was against UT Martin. So they, you know, they got an FCS win at home, and they're like, we just really want to beat someone at home. Like, they had that hunger for it. So, and you could really feel that. And so, yeah, I was really happy for them that they got that one. But yeah, obviously, you know, they're kind of, them and Delaware both right now are sitting in pretty good spots to potentially make some noise in the bowl conversation if the, you know, that opportunity arises. It's kind of getting to that point. I got asked a lot about it while I was there of just like, hey, how does this work? Like, what are the chances of us getting in? I'm like, you know, it's still early to tell, but right. I was like, if you look back, like Louisiana Tech got in at last year's a 5-win team. Jacksonville State got in a couple of years ago in their first year of eligibility, their first year in FBS. You know, they weren't
technically eligible.
Yeah, they had to get a waiver. So I'm like, it's possible. Mm-hmm. It can be done. But I'm like,
a lot needs to happen.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, one of the things we talked about in this game was Missouri State's inexperience against run-heavy teams. So I was worried about Keyshawn Owens coming into this game. And man, this Missouri State defense, you know, definitely answered the call. You know, held FIU to 115 yards, no touchdowns, 3.3 yards per carry on the ground. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about Shamari Lawrence the night he had against his former team. You could tell there was definitely a little, you know, extra chip on his shoulder in this one.
Definitely the storyline of the night, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, he has a personal great night. His first 100-yard game, it was the first 100-yard rusher for the Bears all season. Mm. And again, we know that that's not always part of their game. When you have Jacob Clark at quarterback, you don't need to throw the ball.
Yes.
You don't need to run the ball very much. And so they realized he was feeling it that night, and they really leaned into him. You know, he had a couple really big runs. So, it was good. Good game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit about this, but my game to watch for next week involves Missouri State. So we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But our Friday night fright game, as I will call it, it was frightening for one, not so frightening for the other. Sam Houston at Louisiana Tech on Halloween night. Louisiana Tech gets a very commanding victory, 55-14 over the Bearcats. Saw Louisiana Tech do a little bit better in this game after having dropped a couple in a row. So I'm sure they were happy to get another victory and at home. But anything from this game that stuck out to you?
I mean, really, it was just this, you know, again, Louisiana Tech offense after a couple of weeks of making a lot of mistakes. You know, they really stalled out against Kennesaw State, could not get the ball moving at all. We saw a vast improvement from them. And they averaged almost 11 yards per carry, which was fifth most in CUSA history. So, you know, it was just record after record, right? You know, you look at their 55 points were the most scored by the Bulldogs in 5 years. They finished with 425 yards and 6 touchdowns on the ground. So, I mean, they just completely owned this one from start to finish, and, you know, got back on track, got back in the win column. So,
all right.
Yep.
Okay. Bulldogs still alive in Conference USA.
Yeah.
All right. Delaware at Liberty. We're moving to Saturday now. This game was a surprise for me. I think, you know, we expected Nick Minicucci to get out there, throw the ball over the yard, score a lot of points for the Blue Hens. But 59-30, Liberty wins this one in convincing fashion. I think the Flames have been waiting for this all season.
Yeah. And like, you know, we just had our first, you know, internal football championship prep meeting. And, you know, we're sitting here talking about, all right, who could possibly host this game? And it's like, guys, like, we can't forget about Liberty.
Right.
Like, Liberty is in the
3-1.
They're 3-1 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they are very much in the conversation. And you were and I even said last week, I was like, I just feel like they haven't hit that gear yet. Right. And I think this is going, I feel like we're going to look back on this game as a huge turning point for them on the season. And like you said, you know, we expected a lot out of Delaware in this game. And I think offensively, yes, they performed. The defense just didn't have a chance in this one against Evan Dickens. Evans, who had a career day with 217 yards and four touchdowns.
This is wild.
I could have just started writing the Player of the Week release right then and there.
It's crazy.
But
I was looking at this. We were talking a little bit beforehand. I was like, Josh, I'm just going to be honest with you. I haven't like sat down and watched play for play a whole lot of Liberty games this year. I'm like, where did Evan Dickens come from?
I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So we came into the year, obviously, a lot of the, you know, the hype was around Vaughn Blue, Juju Gray in this backfield. And we knew they had a couple other younger guys that from the get, Jamie Chadwell has said, like, we want to get these guys involved. And it's kind of been a mix. You know, we saw Caden Williams. We saw we've seen Evan Dickens. We saw, you know, a couple other guys that have gotten carries for the Flames. And, you know, coming into this game, he had had a good game against Jacksonville State, had a few other, you know, impressive games. But he came in with, I believe, like 400 yards rushing and four touchdowns on the season.
Right.
And then nearly, I mean, he, you know, matched his touchdown total and then, yeah, 50% of his season rushing total in one day. So, and a bulk of that was, you know, he had a two big touchdown runs that certainly helped that tally. But he ended up, you know, with a lot of really just impressive runs that helped get the Flames going on offense. So they're kind of at the point now where, all right, you know, Vasco's back from his injury. He's feeling good. He had another great, efficient game.
Vasco looked good, too. Yeah. 221 yards, two touchdowns for him, 31 yards rushing on top of that. So that was really great to see out of him. And yeah, Liberty just put it all together. We talked about this though in last week's episode, who was the last team to put up a 300-yard game on the Flames, and it was Bo Nix in the Fiesta Bowl in 2023.
Yep.
Nick Minakushi still had 300 yards.
I know. I mean, it is crazy how, now again, obviously it is a product of how Delaware plays offense. He takes a lot of shots. They throw the ball a lot, right? But I mean, that's still nonetheless impressive because, I mean, Liberty's played WKU, Liberty's played New Mexico State, Liberty's played a lot of these schools over the last couple of years that couldn't have even achieved that feat that he did. So that was definitely a big thing. And we'll talk about it again when we preview Delaware's next game too, and really for Liberty as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like another one where it's just a notch in Nick's belt here. That's like, oh shoot, okay, he's legit.
Yeah.
So
he's fun to watch.
Yeah,
for sure,
definitely. But yeah, for the Flames, you know, we had talked about how just kind of over this year and really most of last year, like, they did run the ball fairly well last year, weren't getting quite as much of the quarterback play that they wanted to. But this is the first game that they had 200 passing yards, 200 rushing yards in the same game since they played New Mexico State at the beginning of 2024. So almost, you know, what, 20 games, call it, that they have not achieved that feat. So, again, I look at this one and I feel like we're going to be looking back and saying, OK, this is when Liberty really turned it on.
This is the moment.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see about that for sure. Our final game of the weekend was New Mexico State at WKU, 16-35. Tisdale gets the start again, his first at home, and he had quite the game as well.
Yeah, 30 of 38, which, like, just reading that again is insane.
It is crazy
for a redshirt freshman. 301 yards, four touchdowns, 28 yards on the ground. He completed a pass to 10 different receivers, which for a guy who, you know, again, this is his second start, he just kind of got in the mix with working with the ones. So for him to have that much chemistry with this offense and being able to spread it around to that many guys is crazy. I mean, you would assume a guy like that to come in and really just lean on, you know, the Katie Hutchinsons, Matthew Henry, right? And just saying, here, take it. Like,
right,
here's the ball, like, go get it. But no, I mean, it was methodical in this game. So a really great performance for WKU. I think we're starting to see them kind of put it all together again. You know, there were a couple weeks there where we're like, oh, okay, you know, that they really lost their teeth.
Not what we expected them, yeah.
And so he's, I mean, really provided a nice jolt for WKU going into the back stretch of the games or of the season. And we talked about, you know, Tyson Helton talks about how important these November games are. They get it off to a good start with this big win over New Mexico State. I think the one stat that jumped out most to me, and again, giving lots of praise to Rodney Tisdale, 8 passes over 15 yards in this game. I mean, he was taking shots,
right?
Like, it wasn't like he was just dinking, dunking, playing safe football. No, they're starting to let him, you know, be aggressive in this offense. And New Mexico State, 0.
I know.
And just continue to see just some kind of disappointing performances from Logan Fife. It's just been a tale of two seasons now, because first half of the season, we thought, okay, this guy, you know, he might be able to bring New Mexico State back a little bit. And then since then, it's just a lot of mistakes, a lot of just missed throws, things like that, that have kind of doomed them a little bit.
Yes. But when you meet guys at Media Day, okay,
I know,
you start to like kind of root for them throughout the season. So Logan Fife came to Conference USA Media Day over the summer, got to chat with him quite a bit. You watched our show with him previewing the season, but you even wrote it a little bit later. Where has Logan Fife gone?
And in my notes, I wrote a sad face next to it, because it is. It's really sad. Maybe next week we'll see some more out of him. We'll see where that ends up. But that is our Week 10 games. Before we move into our interview segment, where we're going to talk to Eric Jones, who is at the Women's Soccer Championship right now, we had another championship event over the weekend. We crowned our first Conference USA champions of the fall season for cross country. So on the women's side, Liberty won it. On the men's side, Middle Tennessee won it. Some really fun stuff happening there in Huntsville, Alabama. Hopefully you got to watch it on ESPN+. But do want to run through a couple of stats. Liberty's Ali Zeeland, who we had a feeling was going to do it, went out there and won the individual women's championship with a time of 19:53. That's a 6K race in under 20 minutes, guys. She was the only female out there to do it. And then on Middle Tennessee, for the men's, they swept all of the men's individual awards. They won the individual championship. Alan Kiplagat, two-time CUSA cross-country champion now, finished that 8K with a time of 23:34. And then they had the outstanding senior of the meet in Jacinto Gaspar and the freshman of the meet in Solomon Sayo. So they just ran the table there, the Middle Tennessee men did. Super exciting. Congratulations to those two squads on their first CUSA championships of the season. All right, everybody, we have a really fun interview segment coming up for you right now. Eric Jones is live in Lynchburg, Virginia. He saw a lot of really great contests on Sunday in the quarterfinal round of the Women's Soccer Championship, and he's going to preview today's semifinal matches for us as well. So here is your interview segment brought to you by Victory Snacks. All right, everyone, joining us now from Lynchburg, Virginia at the Conference USA Women's Soccer Championship, we are happy to have Eric Jones from our office, our Associate Director of Strategic Communications, who is covering all things on the communications front there in Lynchburg for the soccer championship. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's good to be on. We got high vibes here in Lynchburg, Virginia. Long day yesterday, and we're excited for some semis and championship throughout the rest of the week.
Yes, the vibes really are high there. I was taking a look at all the scores from Sunday afternoon, and I texted you because you totally called this last week when we were talking about this Women's Soccer Championship. You said it is anyone's game going into this week, and you may have even said that you thought Missouri State was going to beat WKU. I think that you may have put that out into the ether just within our office, but that went out and happened. Some other upsets that were really exciting. Two overtime games. You had a lot to look at yesterday. Obviously, we're recording this podcast here on a Monday. You got semifinal games on Tuesday. But tell me a little bit about the game action that you did see on Sunday afternoon, and just how awesome it was and exciting to see for all of these programs.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, it was a quite the day yesterday. Started early for us, and we can just go ahead and start with the early one, with Liberty and Louisiana Tech. You know, not the start that I don't think anyone, especially being here in Lynchburg, expected, with La Tech getting it out to an early start, scoring in the first, I think, 3 or 4 minutes of the match. Kind of stunned the Liberty folks a little bit, and then Player of the Year, Ivy Garner, and company got back into business, And you know, they did their thing. Liberty ended up winning 4-1. They scored all four of those goals in the first half, after going down 1-0 early. But super impressive outing from the Flames, the home team here in Lynchburg. And they will be moving on to the semis tomorrow at 4 Eastern time. And then to face off with Sam Houston in an incredible match number 2 yesterday, between number 3 seed Sam Houston and number 6 Delaware. Obviously, Delaware's first tournament as a member of Conference USA, so it was super fun. They had a great turnout with their fans, and it was kind of helpful. They had a football game here Saturday in Lynchburg.
That was probably very helpful.
Oh yeah, so I think they got a good turnout there from the football fans and coming over to watch some soccer too. What a great match.
Unfortunately didn't go Delaware's way in that one. But you even talked with me about it a little bit before we got on. You know, you looked at that game and like Delaware really thought they had it in the bag until the end there, right? Sam Houston didn't score their tying goal until the 77th minute. Is that correct?
Yeah. 77th, 78th minute, somewhere around there. And I think we all thought too that we were about to see our first upset of the day. And, you know, Delaware looked really good. They looked to be in control. And, you know, lo and behold, here come the Bearcats. They had a great regular season, great conference season as well. They tied it there and then went into an instant classic. Couldn't figure out a winner in overtime and went to PKs. And even then we went past the best of five. So we had, you know, Sam Houston ended up winning 6-5 in PKs, and Katie Bond had a couple tremendous saves for the Bearcats in goal. So a great game. I know the Bearcat faithful is happy about this one. They'll be going on to the semifinals against Liberty.
Yeah, and then that was the regular season finale for those two teams too. I saw earlier Liberty took that one 2-0 to Sam Houston, so we'll have to see how that one turns out. But that's a straight 2-3 matchup, number two Liberty versus number three Sam Houston. I think the match of the day that most people have their eyes on, and especially was looking at the score, the box score after the game, was that third game of the day, Missouri State beating number one seed WKU. Tell me what you saw in that one.
Yeah, and as you mentioned earlier, it was one of those games I was looking at, like, you know, being a one seed in WKU, we can't take Missouri State lightly. I think we all know the history that they brought from the Missouri Valley Conference, a tremendous coach in Kirk Nelson, and he had the girls ready. They got after it last night and really dominated from, you know, the first minute on. An incredible wad, Ellie Neath is a freshman. She had her first career goal in that game to get the scoring started. And then Riley Heeman in the second half put almost kind of a dagger to it. And, you know, they gave WKU a ton of fits out there last night. And it was fun to see an 8-1 upset. I don't think I've ever seen one in my time with any of my sports. So it was certainly cool to watch for them. And again, it's a new member to the conference, so their first go at it in a conference tournament in CUSA. So they will be moving on as the 8 seed, and actually the fourth 8 seed to ever make it to the semifinal round in Conference USA women's soccer history. So
okay,
there. The last time was 2022 when Charlotte won as an 8 seed.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, we love to cheer for the underdog. I think in general, sports fans, if you're not cheering for one side or the other, you're always going to cheer for the underdog in that one. So I know that a lot of people were really excited to see that. But what some people may not have realized if they hadn't been watching the show or following standings is 7 of the 8 seeds going into this tournament were secured going into the last weekend of play, right, Eric? So Missouri State had to fight their way into the tournament to begin with, and then they go out and beat the number one seed. So super exciting stuff there from the Bears.
Oh yeah, it was great stuff to watch last night, and excited to see how they kind of bring this momentum into tomorrow, into the semifinals.
And they'll be facing off against the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders, who won their game in OT as well. Tell us a little bit about what you saw in that one.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was a physical battle. Loved watching Emma Pedersen with Middle Tennessee. I'd heard a lot about her throughout the season, but watching her there live kind of control that offensive pace for Middle Tennessee was truly incredible. But man, they were battling it out all night long, and we were like, we might be here even longer than what we were here for match two of the day. And, you know, it turned out in OT, and it was super fun to watch them celebrate. And they scored there in the first overtime period, and super fun to watch them play and take down and FIU, the reigning champions too. So we will have a new champion this year in Conference USA.
Yes, that is the only thing that we can confirm at this point after watching yesterday's matches. Who knows who's going to win in these contests? And unlike Sam Houston and Liberty, who met in the regular season, Middle Tennessee and Missouri State did not meet in the regular season. So this will be the first time that those two programs get to match up against each other. Well, Eric, I'm going to run down the schedule really quick so that people know where they can watch. So Sam Houston versus Liberty will be the first game of the day there in Lynchburg on ESPN Plus. You can catch that at 4 p.m. and then the nightcap, if you will, at 7 p.m. Middle Tennessee versus number four Middle Tennessee versus number eight Missouri State on ESPN Plus. So lots of really exciting stuff there. A difference that is going to maybe catch some fans off guard this year is you guys have a little bit of an extra break after the semifinal round as compared to past years. So when is the championship game this year, Eric?
Championship, we have 2 days of rest for these girls, get them, you know, resting those legs a little bit. We want everyone fresh as can be on Friday afternoon. It'll be Friday noon Eastern time, and we'll be crowning a champion.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun. So we will have a new Conference USA women's soccer champion this upcoming Friday. Will it be the hometown Flames? Will it be the newcomer Missouri State in the Conference USA championship? Who knows? We are super excited to catch all of those matches. Again, you can watch both semifinal matches tomorrow, Tuesday on ESPN Plus, 4 p.m. for the first one, 7 p.m. for the second one. If you have any other questions or want to see what the bracket looks like, you can go to conferenceusa.com. Just find the Women's Soccer Championship page and it'll all be right there. Thanks so much, Eric, and we will see you back here in the office sometime next week. Safe travels.
Awesome. Thank you. We're excited out here.
Thank you so much to Eric Jones coming to us live from Lynchburg, Virginia, where the Women's Soccer Championship semifinals get underway this afternoon. So be sure to catch those matchups at 4 and 7 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN+. All right, now to talk all about Week 11 football, we've got some games to preview. One team on bye this week, WKU, no game. Everybody else is in action, so let's get to it. All right, this is my game to watch for the weekend. There's a lot of other really interesting games happening as well, which we will get to it. But for some reason, 3-1 Missouri State at Liberty, who is also 3-1 in conference, noon Central time on ESPN+. I think it could be a good one.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one. I feel like we said this a couple of times. Like anytime the new schools are playing, especially one of our premier teams, it's just a natural level of excitement. Mm-hmm. We saw it last week at Delaware and Liberty, and kind of something that I alluded to was with Missouri State welcoming Liberty. It's kind of a little deja vu because your defense just gave up 344 yards to Nick Minicucci, and a defense that came into this game ranked 17th in passing yards allowed. So no slouch on defense. Now you have to go back to the drawing board and prepare for Jacob Clark.
Yep.
Maybe a potential. I got to go look up the last time they gave up back-to-back 300-yard passers.
Sure.
Because that is potentially on the horizon with this Bears passing offense going up against Liberty. But and then again, going back to us talking about Evan Dickens, now that he's healthy, he's kind of back in the fold, coming off a game where he got 22 carries, which I believe was a season high, is seeing how he stands up against this Missouri State rushing defense, which is second in CUSA.
Yeah.
And
did great stopping Keyshawn Owens and FIU exactly. Last week. So yeah.
So there's a lot of just this carryover from last week to this week. There's a lot of deja vu on both sides of the ball for the kind of matchups that they have to present or they have to prepare for. The other thing that jumps out to me too with Missouri State is they've been very good at forcing turnovers over the last. They have 7 turnovers in the last 3 games. Liberty, pretty sound. They've been turnover free in 2 of their last 3 games, but that's somewhere where Missouri State could kind of tap into to upset Liberty at home.
Yes, I think that this will be a really interesting one. Obviously, we saw what Ethan Vasco was able to do last week coming off of his injury, looking a lot better. But I feel like Jacob Clark has kind of gotten better and better each week now that he's been off, come off of his injury.
Yeah.
I don't think we're still seeing the same stuff out of him that we did in the first couple of games of the season. So I'm wondering if maybe now third game back from injury.
I believe so.
He can like really make it all click and be back firing on all cylinders. So I think this one is really interesting. Liberty's got to be a little tired after last week. last week's game. They get a full week of rest, though. So we'll have to see how that one turns out there. Again, that one's at noon Central Time on ESPN Plus. Next game of the day, 2 p.m. Central Time on ESPN Plus, Louisiana Tech at Delaware. In the tub once again for the Blue Hens. I don't know. This one could be really interesting as well. You talk about all the great things that Nick Minicucci has done, but Louisiana Tech still top 10 or top 10 in first and second down defensive efficiency, but 110th on third downs, which is really interesting to me. So we'll have to see how these two match up against each other.
Yeah, because that's somewhere where Delaware has really like a strength for them has been their third down efficiency. So if they get to a lot of those situations, it's going to depend on whether or not Louisiana Tech can get off the field. Because if you allow Nick Minicucci to build drives, we've seen what he can do. If he gets down to the red zone. So yeah, I think it's just another test for Nick Minicucci, because we know how good this Louisiana Tech defense is, especially in regards to, you know, forcing mistakes. That's something that has been kind of up and down for him, but they do give up a lot of yards passing wise. Mm-hmm. So this could be another breakout game for him. And it's just so interesting that, you know, Liberty and Delaware play, and he has to face another top defense. Liberty has to face another top quarterback. Right. So it's like they both come in pretty well prepared, having just had a test on each side. But mm-hmm.
I think for me, you look at both of these teams' games last week. Delaware had 59 points scored on them. Not great defensively. Louisiana Tech scored 55 points. So What's that going to look like as well? I think Louisiana Tech finally got the offense really going and put some points up on the board more than they have in any other game this season last week. So I think that'll be something to watch as well.
Yeah, and I think for Louisiana Tech, if you even want a chance at being in the conference championship game with two losses, which is obviously extremely tough for them, but this starts a pivotal four-game stretch. You need to start stacking wins here, because you go at Delaware, at Washington State, Liberty at home, and then at Missouri State. That is not an easy. I certainly don't think that they're winning all three of those conference games, mm-hmm. With two of them being on the road. But if you want a chance at playing for a conference championship, like, these are the games that you're going to have to win, and you're going to have to, you know, carry some of that momentum over for that same Houston game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, as we start looking at that, if they're able to win this one against the Blue Hens, all eyes on that Delaware game, or on that Liberty game, sitting there right in the middle. So we'll have to see how that one turns out. I don't have these games. I'm not predicting them. Yeah. I'm done doing that. I think that I like almost jinxed myself last week, so I don't know if I can do it again. But we have another 2 p.m., actually two more 2 p.m. contests on ESPN Plus. This one, FIU at Middle Tennessee. FIU now sitting at 1-3 in conference. Middle Tennessee, unfortunately, has not won a conference game yet, but could this be the week that they do it? I don't know. Maybe.
I feel pretty encouraged for Middle Tennessee this week. I know their fans are really just like on the ledge right now.
They're ready.
But, you know, Jack State, even when you slow them down, they were still able to win the game. FIU is a team where, especially, we just saw Keyshawn Owens get kind of humbled by this Missouri State defense. Middle Tennessee just humbled one of the best running backs in the country,
right?
In Cam Cook. So if they continue to do that, I mean, FIU, you know, they're a little, you know, less potent on offense, to where if you shut that down, it might spell trouble for them.
Sure.
So I think that's one thing I'm watching to see if Middle Tennessee can kind of keep up that pressure in the trenches and really shut down another top back.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. I'm hoping for, you know, I love the Blue Raider fans out there. I'm a Tennessee native. I've been to Middle Tennessee and their campus a lot. I know that they love the true blue there. And so really hoping that they can squeeze out this one there at home. But we will have to see.
Yep.
Like you said, definitely some things that they'll have to get done in order to get that W on the board. Our next 2 p.m. contest, Jacksonville State heads to El Paso at UTEP. I think if I had to pick a second one to watch this week, underneath, it would be this one, because UTEP did perform pretty well against Kennesaw State. Jacksonville State, definitely you saw some holes in their offense against Middle Tennessee. Can Jacksonville State stay in the conversation to potentially host a Conference USA championship after this one?
Right. And I think it's so funny looking at all these matchups because of how much we've seen, like, everyone's playing a similar team. right?
Yes.
And this is another one, and you alluded to this earlier, that like they were already put on kind of on notice against Middle Tennessee's rushing defense, and UTEP is right there behind Middle Tennessee for one of the top fronts in the league. So if they want to keep that championship alive, like you just mentioned, they're going to have to figure out how to, you know, run the ball efficiently and find a way to get, you know, get through that UTEP front, because I mean, you know, UTEP's rushing defense, they, you know, allow a fair amount of yards, but they do, you know, they do come up with a lot of tackles for loss, and that can just, you know, even if it's just one here, one there, that sets you back in a, you know, a second and 12 and really puts you in a tough situation, force you to throw the ball, as I mentioned earlier. That's something that Jack State has kind of struggled with. So
that's the one stat that I have underlined, the ones that you wrote in your notes, is this is a huge game in the trenches. UTEP tackle for loss allowed sixth. Is that sixth in the nation?
Yeah, they are. Excuse me, they have the sixth loss, most.
Not,
yeah.
Not allowed. So yeah. UTEP has sixth in the nation for tackles for loss. Jack State's TFL allowed 117th.
Yeah.
So that's, for me, that's the big one that I've circled, especially after how their game went last week, that they've got to shore that up in practice this week, make sure that that is locked down. Otherwise, this could be a struggle for them, especially being now a time zone over, mountain time. You're going into El Paso, which is always a great place to play. So I think that this one is going to be a little more interesting than people may think.
Definitely. But worth mentioning, too, now that we've talked about or I guess now that we've talked about Jack State, we're about to talk about Kennesaw State. Shout out to ESPN. Thank you for picking up the Jack State Kennesaw game the following week, November 15th. That one will be on ESPNU in primetime, 7 p.m. Central. So stay up nice and late for that one. That'll be obviously a great one. You would assume they're both probably 5-0 going into that game, and that's going to be a huge difference maker in the conference championship race. So
yes.
Excited for that one to look ahead a little bit, but
we assume nothing here, Josh.
I know. Yeah,
we certainly should not. And we'll talk about
that. Yeah, archives.
Five that one to the Josh's Jinxes archive. Okay, here we go. Kennesaw State at New Mexico State. I don't know. Are Kennesaw State and Jack State just sharing a plane over there too?
Yeah, they
might as well. So we've got Jack State at UTEP, and we got Kennesaw State and New Mexico State. That one's at 3 p.m. Central Time on ESPN Plus. I think when you looked at this game like 3 weeks ago, this was one that maybe looked a little more exciting than it does at this current moment. I mean, there's still, you never know what can happen, but we mentioned it a little bit before. Logan Fike has not looked himself in the last couple of games that he's played. Can he bring it back at home and really put out a great performance? We'll have to see.
Yeah, and I think for Kennesaw, I mean, everything is going their way right now. They're playing some of the best football in the league that we've seen. And for as great as all of these wins have been, especially the bowl eligible win, obviously that was a huge one for the program. But now it shifts, right? Because like, yes, that was an awesome goal, and I'm sure the guys were super excited about it. But like, now it's gotten to the point where their eyes are set so much higher,
mm-hmm.
Because now you're looking at potentially hosting a conference championship game in your second year in FBS,
yep.
Which is just insane. So the confidence that these guys have right now, even when they're a little beat up, they've had a lot of their top guys out on defense right now. We saw Taiwan Christopher step up in a big way, getting a spot start at the linebacker position this past week. We've seen how they've had to navigate the quarterback situation. So even through all of that, they're still winning games in this fashion. I just think it's super tough to stop the train that they're on right now. I think the only kind of crack in the foundation I would see right now is this New Mexico State defense, which is right there with Louisiana Tech in terms of, you know, the amount of mishaps that they force. They force multiple turnovers in five straight games. And that's something. There was a point where we were talking about that with Kennesaw State, where they were being a little less disciplined with the ball. They've since cleaned that up in conference play.
Yeah.
But it's, again, one of those, you know, immovable object, unstoppable force things of, you know, can New Mexico State kind of break that and force them to make a couple game-changing mistakes? We'll see. And then, yeah, really the other big one is can Logan Fife show back up?
Yep, for sure.
You look at his last two games, completed less than 50% of his passes and 5 interceptions. Yeah. So got to clean that up if you want to give your team a chance to win.
Yeah, tough out there for the Aggies. I think the other thing with Kennesaw State is they're still doing that 2-quarterback system thingy that they're
looking at. I think
it worked for him so far.
Right. I think don't quote me. I think the approach going into this one is that we will see a Mariota from the start. So, and again, with him on, I don't have the stats of, you know, how much better they are when he is playing versus when he isn't, but just off the eye test, I think that, you know, he will certainly change the game for him,
yeah.
And help him pick him a road win.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't know. I know some people are like, it's a detriment to have the two quarterback thing, but
yeah, saying, you go, if you want that run or whatever.
And you got one sitting there on the sideline, yeah. You can go out and win you a game just as well as the starter can. I mean,
everyone knows this, at least if you have watched this for a long time. Went to Alabama. We had the situation for a while with Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa where it was like,
yeah,
our starter and our second stringer. They're both great. Throw them both out there. I think it's great. So I think it's fine, but we'll see how it turns out for Kennesaw State here in this weekend's game. And our final game of the evening, Sam Houston at Oregon State, a tough non-conference game for the Bearcats, who are still in search of their first win of the season. Don't know if they can pull it out, but who knows?
Yeah.
Weirder things have happened.
Yeah, yeah, an 0-8 Sam Houston and I think 2-7 Oregon State team playing at 9 p.m. Central, 10 Eastern on the CW. So we love Sam Houston, but you're a true sicko. If you're watching,
watch that one. Yeah, for sure.
But no, you know, all jokes aside, I think for Sam Houston, there's been, you know, obviously struggles abound. The one thing I looked at, just kind of a positive going into this one, they, you know, 4-6 turnovers in their last four games. Beavers have given up a lot of turnovers, 14 on the year, which ranks 110th in FBS. So if you can force a couple turnovers, force a couple mistakes, could, you know, turn into some points, get them a win, but we'll see. But yeah, that, you know, just on paper looks to be a tough one for them, but we'll see.
All right. Well, that's it for our football previews, but there's a couple of other things happening around the league right now. Volleyball, 2 weeks left of the regular season. You still got WKU and UTEP sitting at 11-1 in conference play. Right behind them, though, Kennesaw State and FIU sitting at 10-2 in conference play. The final 2 weeks of the regular season, we will see who comes out on top with that one. And there will be a bracket release here in just a few weeks. And then Conference USA basketball, men's and women's, started yesterday. We've got some really awesome games going on all week long. If you want to catch those, go to our website, conferenceusa.com, head to our schedule page, and you can find out where and when you can watch those games right there on our website. Well, you should be following us on social media at this point, if you're not already. But if you aren't, you can find us at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. Make sure you're following us there so that you never miss a new episode. And if you are actually watching us on screen right now, then you have obviously found us on YouTube. Thank you so much to our listeners out there. If you would like to be able to find us on YouTube, just go to youtube.com, search Conference USA. The CUSA Insider Podcast is right there on the Conference USA YouTube homepage. If you're still one of our OG audio-only listeners, we appreciate you so much as well. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And I think that's it. I haven't run through this list here in a hot minute, but I think that's all that we need as far as housekeeping goes. As always, you can find everything that you need, all the info that you need about CUSA Sports at conferenceusa.com. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. That's all we have for you today. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.